Happy Corona Day, everyone. It's Chuck Bonneville
Truth,
and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show. Truth straight up.
Chuck, truth straight up.
I'm having a Biden moment. Having
there,
a Biden
there you
moment
go.
There.
Hey, want to let you know the show is brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Just today, I had a friend ask me, you know, what websites do you check to know, get your news from? And I told her, ColoradoCitizenPress.com, one of the ones I go to first thing every day just to see what's going on.
It's not
on.
Controlled by the establishment.
No,
it's not
grassroots.
Controlled by the Dems. It's grassroots, and it's great. It's just great. So I check it every day. Checked it this morning. I'll check it again probably during the show. So if there's one site you need to go to in Colorado, it's Colorado.
CitizenPress.com. So, right now that we have with us one of our favorite guests, Dr. Brian June Depp. Doctor, thank you very much for your time.
He's written
Absolutely.
A great article. He's written a great article. Remember the H1N1 pandemic? I don't either. Actually, I do, but because I got swine flu. But that's just
well, then you remember it very well.
Yes, yes.
And it's up
well,
in
I
America.
I remember the 1957 Asian flu because I got that. I didn't get the Hong Kong flu a decade later, but I certainly got the. I was at the hospital, of course, for a huge hip replacement, and so they generously added on the swine flu to make it a fun recovery.
Hopefully, they cut your bill in half.
Yeah,
no,
they doubled.
Oh no, of course not.
Didn't even throw any hand sanitizer. Well, your column is up. It's a great one. I recommend everybody go to it, AmericanThinker.com. And, you know, why don't you maybe just sort of walk us through your just general thoughts on this whole coronavirus? What do you think people need to know? What do we need to worry about? What do we need to not worry about, et cetera?
The main thing I would say is try to avoid succumbing to media-induced hysteria.
Yeah.
Turn off cable news. get your news doses selectively.
Isolate
yourself from the virus. It's contagious. If you catch it, it's not pleasant. But it's not a death sentence like the media is portraying it.
Right.
I think the hysteria and the reaction is going to be far more costly and damaging to the world than the virus itself. We're basically shutting down a global economy, commerce, travel, leisure, you name it. Everything is being shut down. Schools are being shut down. Workplaces are being shut down. Health clubs, golf courses, restaurants.
Golf courses?
I got Chuck's attention there.
Let me go. Wait, there's an end. You know, let me ask you about that, because this is my understanding of the situation that, as you said, first of all, most people are not going to get it. Of the people who do get it, the vast majority of people are going to have mild, moderate symptoms. There is a percentage of the people who get it are going to get very sick, and an even smaller percentage that it will be fatal to. And
correct.
It seems to me what the hospitals and the health officials are recommending that we do is close everything down in preparation so the hospitals don't get overwhelmed with this relatively small portion of the population that's going to get it. It's small, but big enough to overwhelm the hospitals. I mean, is that kind of the problem we're trying to avoid?
That's correct. It's there will be a lot of people that have it but don't know it. They're asymptomatic. They may be carriers. I think that's going to be kids. Kids will get it. They'll catch it at school from other kids, who knows? And they'll be carriers of it, may have a few sniffles, but they have the potential to infect perhaps their parents, their grandparents. And that's one of the dangers of closing the schools. I see why it's done. They're trying to what's called flatten the curve.
Right.
Try to suppress having a surge in the number of cases. If this grows exponentially, and you have a huge number of cases in a short period of time, that can overwhelm the healthcare system. That's what they're trying to avoid, because that's what's happening in Italy. So by flattening the curve, you're extending this out. As President Trump said a little while ago in the press conference, this could run into summer, July, August. You can flatten the curve and extend the cases out over a longer period of time, but you're also going to have more disruption.
Right.
The other approach is to let it run its course, which the UK seems to be doing. They're relaxing restrictions, and those that will get sick will get sick, and they'll deal with it in a shorter period of time. It's kind of like ripping the Band-Aid off.
Right.
It may temporarily overwhelm their system, but their system runs at an overwhelmed pace anyway. That won't be anything new to them, but you get herd immunity a lot faster. In other words, the virus runs through the community, in this case, England, and the people that get it, get it. The people that develop immunity, get immunity. It runs its course and it's over with fairly quickly, like past viral epidemics.
Okay.
Well, but do you think the millennials will ever get what we're doing to them? I mean, do they realize that there's a special kind of Illuminati of baby boomers? And we're cutting off all their recreation, all their eating.
Avocado toast.
All activity. Anyone under 54, including pregnant women in the third trimester. Apparently in China, there were 9 women in the third trimester got coronas, got over it. What did not affect the children, you know, the babies. The babies were healthy. They were healthy. So from zero or, you know, in the womb up to 54, you know, the idea that you can't play golf, you can't do anything, is all just garbage, right? But what we're trying to protect, we are the boomer Illuminati, is us, 54 and plus, you know?
We will
get sick. So
we're the ones that
need
to
stop
sick.
Playing. Yeah.
Well,
you people need to not even move. And we don't have to worry about kids. I mean, I've got a kid, but I'm one of the few at, you know, our age that has a child age. So this is great stuff. We can just pen them all up. And you know, because we're not going to die, you see. We're not having any intending of dying. So anything that might upset we boomers needs to be squashed. And we're doing a great job. California said no meetings over 500. And then New York said 250. Then the president said 100, and the CDC said 10. You know, in fact, we have 2.
50, yeah.
Pretty soon, you
know.
We
won't be able to do this. We'll be important.
This is great. This is great.
Think about
other people need to we need to keep on living. You don't.
Think about the colleges that are closing. I think might be better to leave the kids on campus, because if these 20-year-olds are carriers of this and they're sent home indefinitely, they're going to be with their families, with their parents, grandparents, spreading this around. And they're not going to sit in the house doing nothing.
Yeah.
They're going to go out. They're going to get together with their friends and hang out.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got to stop them at the bars. Stop them at the beaches. Stop them on the ski slopes. Stopping them at restaurants. We must stop them everywhere from enjoying life and having any fun until this thing eventually peters out and we get a vaccination. The day we get a vaccination, which will only be available for boomers, because they're the most at-risk group, everybody can go back to having fun. But until then, we're going to let you have it.
I don't know if I want the vaccine. I remember the swine flu vaccine back in the 70s.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think the vaccine killed far more than the
disease. Yeah, it did, right.
Well, that's good. Well, Brian, let me ask you this. And, you know, talking about there's sort of risks and there are costs, right? And I know today I was talking to a couple of different small business owners, and they're really worried. They're like, why are people freaking out? People should not be freaking out. They said, you know, we cannot afford to close down every small business in America till June. You know, like Chuck
June,
said.
So July or August. That's when it's going to, quote unquote, wash through.
Help us understand the costs and the risks. And then the other question kind of into that is, how much as a doctor do you see politics playing into this?
Oh, none. Yeah, never politics.
Yeah.
Not at all. No, there's going to be a huge cost. All the businesses that are shutting down. The restaurants that shut down, yes, they'll be open for takeout. People still have to eat. So there will be business, but a lot of them can't function on takeout alone. They have wait staff and others. Think of all the ski resorts that are closed, all the lift operators. Yes, the season is winding down, but there's still a month to go. And each resort has thousands of ski patrol and lift operators and people working in the restaurants and driving the snowcats. All of that is suddenly done. All the sporting events. What's the cost of canceling NCAA basketball?
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, if you're a college.
The Masters.
The Masters is a different deal. They never should have closed down the Masters. I mean, I really don't quite get if you play.
How do you postpone the Masters? The course down there closes in the summer.
Right.
If they have the tournament in the summer, it's going to interfere with some other tournament. Everybody's been gearing up for this. You can't postpone the NCAA basketball tournament. None of these things can realistically be postponed. They're all just canceled.
Well, and one of the things you point out in your column is, so what's different about this and all of the other viruses, all the other times we've gone through this as a country, and what is it, the one thing that's different?
Well, it's who's in the White House. That's, I think, the biggest difference. My article looked back at swine flu, the H1N1. This was in 2009.
2010, and it continued on to 2010.
Yes. There was a four-month lag between when the World Health Organization declared it a pandemic and Obama declared it a national emergency.
Right.
And I cited a New York Times article that mentioned kind of a puff piece about how cool and calm, collected Obama was when he declared it a national emergency, and he didn't want to set off panic, and he even went golfing on the day he declared it a national emergency. This is from the New York Times.
He was a good.
Can you imagine if Trump was golfing?
That's leadership. Getting out on the golf course—that's leadership. I like that.
Can you imagine if Trump played golf today?
Oh God!
They'd be impeachment 2.0 would be starting.
Right.
So speaking of impeachment. We knew about this in January. What was going on in January? Trump was instituting a travel ban against China.
And criticized as being racist.
Democrats were running an impeachment.
Yeah. Right.
So who dropped the ball and who was prepared and who wasn't?
Right.
The other irony is that look who's putting in travel bans. All the European leaders are instituting travel bans. And it wasn't that long ago when they said travel bans were racist, xenophobic, and were criticizing Trump for his travel bans.
Right.
He was putting in travel bans against terrorism. What is this? This virus is it's not a human terrorist. It's a microbial terrorist, but
right.
It's inducing terror. I haven't seen any terror attacks cause a run on the grocery stores.
No.
I haven't seen any terror attacks that have shut down every sporting event, schools, stores, ski resorts, you name it. Everything is ground to a halt. 9/11 didn't do that. None of the terror attacks have done that. But this little virus has.
Right. And all, as you point out, for most people will not be affected at all health-wise. And of the people who are going to be affected, most of them are going to be minimally affected, right? Again, that's bad for the people who get very sick. But which, if you were in charge of the universe, what would you do? Would you do the English model or would you do what they're trying to do here, sort of spread it out and flatten the curve, or neither of the above?
I don't know. I'd probably go with let's get this over with.
Yeah.
And the public health people may argue, and they know far more about disease transmission and R-naught and all these other factors. I'm not an epidemiologist, so I can't speak with that type of authority. But I would just get this over with, because it's not just the medical cost. It's the societal cost. Look
right.
at what the stock market's been doing.
Right.
How many trillions of dollars of wealth has been destroyed over the past several weeks? This is people's retirement.
Right, right.
This is people's savings.
Wait a minute, the boomers' retirement?
yeah, the boomers. Well, they've already put it into something safer because they're closer to retirement.
Right,
these are all the risk-taking younger people.
Little sneakers that are saving for the future. That's not
I was talking with my daughter about it. And everybody wants to, in something like this, everybody wants to blame somebody, right? And I was trying to say, look, it's not that I don't blame Trump. If you're Mayor Hancock, you know, who just earlier today closed all the restaurants and bars in Denver, right? You know, he didn't want to do that. You got Jared Polis, probably didn't want to close all the ski resorts. Wouldn't be surprised if maybe we see more cities and counties join the restaurant ban. But in a way, it seems to me, if you're a leader and you got to make these calls, you're kind of darned if you do and darned if you don't.
You're the weatherman.
But
let
me just finish.
Yeah.
But I think the mainstream mass hysteria media makes making those decisions, I think, a lot worse, don't you think?
Well, let me add, it's weatherman. If you're a weatherman and you don't predict a snowstorm, you are excoriated. You're just cut. But if you predict one that doesn't come, oh, great, we saved,
right.
It's wonderful. So if you're a political leader, do you want to be the mayor of Philadelphia who back in 1918 decided to have a victory bond march that cost about 13,000 lives in Pennsylvania, or at least in Philadelphia? No, you don't want to be that guy. I mean, they're still hanging him in effigy. You want to be the guy that closed everything down, and then it didn't happen, so everybody says, who cares?
Open
good job.
Up.
Good job.
Well, that'll be forgotten. But if they're it's the first one that closes it down that takes the heat. After that, it's easy.
Right.
They
right.
can say, well, he did it, and de Blasio did it, and Chicago did it, and L.A. did it, so it's easy for Denver to do it.
Right.
But
the mayor did say.
They're all Democrats, so that would be one thing.
The mayor did say he's going to curtail for at least 30 days chasing women down in Atlanta. So that's a lot for him to give up there on a personal basis. So we appreciate that.
And you can say this on a podcast.
Yeah, we can say whatever we want on a podcast.
That's true.
So how do long, I mean, in your, from what you've seen or if you know, what I've heard is that, like you said, it could be over at peak, like by mid-April, and then we're kind of on our way out. That's what I think they're seeing in Italy, maybe China. Or if it, I think it's a bad idea to spread it out until July.
August.
But do you think, I don't know, what are your thoughts on how that's going?
Well, there's the Johns Hopkins has a dashboard of the cases, and they have a particular graph that shows China cases and the rest of the world cases. And they're following a very similar graph, only it's there's a lag of maybe a month or so.
Okay.
China cases went up. Then there was exponential growth for a few days, and then it started to level off. That's kind of the inflection point. And that's what we're seeing now worldwide. There's a big spike right now. And if you look at the two graphs and compare them, you'll actually see that they're quite similar, and you can almost overlap them. There'll be more cases worldwide than China because the world is bigger than China alone.
Right.
But it's following a very similar pattern. How predictable that is? Is it going to follow the exact same course? I wish I knew, but it, common sense, just looking at it as kind of a layperson, that says, yeah, it's following the course in China. China had a head start. Mm-hmm. They contained it. It ran its course. Granted, China could do more containment. They can quarantine a city, and if you don't like it, you're, you know, 6 feet under.
Yeah, it makes it harder. Well, yeah,
you don't have much choice.
I talked to, like I was saying, a lot of small businesses, though, and they're like, you know, hey, look, I only see like one person or one appointment at a time. And they're like, but if everybody stays home and doesn't go out and it succumbs to like this panic, they're like, I'll be closed. I mean, I can handle maybe a few weeks, but I can't handle 4 months. How do you think if, I mean, you're between with your medical experience and also
you have your own practice.
Right. I mean, how do you think they should weigh that, or what should they look at?
Well, that's a problem. In medical offices, we have to kind of go by public health guidance, and you don't want to be out on a limb.
Right.
Because otherwise there's lawyers, no offense. Yeah, right. There's lawyers out there, lawyers. You know, waiting to take advantage.
Yes, you're the lawyers. The lawyers are like writing down
Corona's
everything.
Lawyers.
Yes. So you have to follow guidelines, and it's the public guidelines that dictate it. The health club we belong to yesterday was open. Today it's closed. And that's because the federal government said health clubs should be closed. So they can't go against that.
Right.
But it's closed. Golf course closed. Well, that's outdoor recreation and kind of the same.
There are some limits.
I got to tell you.
On a golf course by yourself in the sunshine, I would think that's a good thing.
Closed. Highland Hills.
Social distancing is not necessary. This isn't the club championship. This is just people out there playing.
Well, and they keep social distance anyway. Yeah, it seems to me that there has to be a combination of common sense. And I mean, I think it is a miss to me, and maybe people disagree, but it is the cost of shutting down the entire economy for 2 weeks, putting businesses out of business. I mean, that is far greater than maybe an overwhelmed or a highly overwhelmed health system.
Not if you're a politician.
Not if you're a politician.
Who cares about the small businesses? Just a bunch of little jerks. They don't vote in any great numbers anyway. Now, you got to worry about all the other. You got to worry about the newspapers, the MSNBC.
Yeah, we need all of them. You know, once they, because I saw what some of the people on the Today Show were calling in sick because they had to. You got to wonder what's going to happen with the mainstream media if this peaks, if they end up having to sort of, we're going to have to just go silent today. We'll just have the Chuck and Julie Show and Dr. Brian June Depp, you know. Uh-oh, did we lose him? Dr. June Depp, are you there? I think he just disappeared. They're screening him.
They took him down.
It made too much sense. Guys at BBS, we lost him. If he comes back, Brian, if you can
alive.
Hear us, yeah, come back. Well, we got, you know, if people want to call in, we can call in until he comes back. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. I can see we have Gina and Ben listening to us on Zoom. If you guys want to weigh in, just go ahead and unmute your microphones and pop on in or tell us you're ready to talk. I will say this, so I want to give shout out, I guess, to our local King Supers at 104th and Federal.
They don't get many shout outs.
No, they don't. They were like, they've been working round the clock hours. People were kind of like freaking out. I mean, there's still no toilet paper, which again, I don't understand why we don't have toilet paper. Are you back, Brian?
I'm back. Different computer.
Maybe. Oh, right. I was going to say they shut you off. That was a Chinese government.
Coronavirus computers too.
That's right. I was asking again, you know, how to me it seems like that the overreaction, once you have one Democrat, by the way, governor or mayor, say, oh, we're shutting down our city.
You got it.
Then everybody else has to. And if you're the one governor who says, wait, no, we're not. We don't have that many cases here. We're going to isolate, et cetera, et cetera.
No.
But politically, you just can't do that, can you?
No, you can't. And this is being politicized. It's, you watch the media. Even Fox, but CNN, MSNBC, this is Trump's Katrina. It's the Trump virus, according to the New York Times. They're trying to make political hay out of this. And instead of coming together and the Democrats working with the Trump administration and saying, hey, we got a problem here. Let's fix it. Let's do what's best for the country. All they're doing is pointing fingers, blaming, and thinking they have the answer. You look at the media and the Never Trumpers. They're very quick to say what Trump did wrong, but what would they have done?
Right.
You know, when he cancels flights, it's draconian. He's being a dictator. If he doesn't, right. He's being irresponsible. So it's the kind of thing that, you know, literally he cannot win. Whatever he does, he loses, and that's because it's political. Which
and
is
you're
really
right.
Unfortunate, because this is an opportunity to do the right thing and get this done the way it needs to be done.
Well, interesting. The debate last night, which
was boring.
It's very good, very somnolent. Bernie said, and this shows that we need socialism. Yeah. So if we just had socialism, we could have a one payer system. And the only intelligent thing that Joe Biden has said for the past 40 years was correct. He said, well, Italy has a single payer system. Why did that not work? I mean. And I agreed with him. I said, yeah.
And you're right. They don't have any other ideas either, really. They're all following the health department, which, I think part of the problem with the health departments are it's like the weather guys, right? You don't want to be the head of the CDC who says, yeah, I don't think we have to quarantine everybody and install curfews. And then you get fired, a few months
later. What
does
a curfew do, by the way? I mean, so is there some, a lot of people out there at midnight spreading diseases? I mean, what does a curfew do? I mean, I can understand sporting events, but
it may keep the bar scene and club scene down in Denver a little bit. But
they're closing all the bars, so they don't have to worry about that. I mean,
doors are closing.
Yeah.
They're not staying open. They have to restock.
Right.
Well, let me ask you what you were kind of talking about before flattening the curve. By this social distancing and closing things down, are we eliminating or significantly reducing the spread of the disease, or are we just spreading it out longer? In other words, are we still just as likely to get it, only it's just going to take longer?
Probably both. But okay. The attitude in the UK is that it's beyond their control. There are enough people that have it. It's contagious enough that there's no way you can contain it. And they're just kind of throwing in the towel and saying, we're not going to contain this. We can't tamp it down. Let's just get it over with and get on with our lives. We will get over this just like every other viral epidemic. Remember the swine flu in 2009, 12,000 plus Americans died.
Yeah.
60 million were infected. There haven't been 60 million infected with this worldwide yet.
Right, right.
In the U.S., we've got, I don't know, 60 deaths maybe. That's a 0.5% of what died from swine flu.
Right.
This isn't over. But also swine flu affected the young. Very few people over 50 had a problem with it. They certainly didn't die. It was affecting kids and young adults.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. Yeah, I could see why.
It's affecting the elderly, and I hate to say it, but people with, 90 years old in an assisted living facility that have diabetes and COPD and kidney failure, they're not going to be long for the world anyway. And if this didn't get them, heart attack would, pneumonia would. And unfortunately, that's the reality of it, not to be crass about it. But
well, we hate to have the word. hate to have the word go out because people want to avoid it, but 150,000 people die every day.
I mean,
150,000, and two-thirds of them are because of old age. And everybody acts like, you know, we're immortal and we will never die as long as we can.
If we wear helmets or something.
Yeah, it's just the acceptance rate. And you're absolutely right. It's all political. Can we get Trump? Can we take Trump down?
Gina, who's listening in with us via Zoom, has just texted us saying exactly that's the way every other virus has been. We've never done this with any other flu. Yeah, the reality. I think that's the thing. Brian, what do you think? Will Trump, this is a big question, will Trump survive this? Because I could see this kind of flipping back on the Democrats like the impeachment did. You know, you've now got Canada and Mexico are closing their borders, right? I could see where this argues against being a globalist. This argues for bringing manufacturing jobs back to the United States. I mean, this argues for United States having their own healthy energy supply. All the kinds of things that Trump has been pushing, this argues for a great extent.
Yes, you could definitely make that case that there are a lot of silver linings. Chuck keeps touching his face, and the head of the CDC is going to put him in quarantine. You've touched his face like a dozen times since we've been doing this.
Don't touch your face. I've
been waiting to say something, but
there
was a video of some health official.
Yes.
Like, was it Ben Carson?
Oh, the last thing you want to do is touch your face. And she licks her finger to turn the video. Ben Carson did that. He sneezed.
Well, you know.
Voluntarily.
Go ahead.
Back to the question. Yes, this can help Trump. What did he say when he came down the escalator at Trump Tower? He was going to build a wall and Mexico was going to pay for it. What did we see in the news in the past day? Mexico wants to restrict travel into Mexico. They want to ban Americans from going that way on the border. So guess what? Mexico is, in essence, building a human wall, and they're paying for it.
Yeah.
But this is going to make it very difficult for Democrats to oppose immigration, security, having a border, having travel bans, et cetera, for this exact reason, not just terrorism, but infectious diseases.
Well, it didn't seem to bother the two.
It didn't bother the two old codgers. I'm sorry.
It didn't bother the two old codgers last night. They were going, oh, yeah. Oh, you know, open the border for 100 days. Oh, yeah, let them all through.
Don't deport
the border and give them free health care. Our system is overwhelmed now. We're about to be, and they're talking about free health care for everybody else. All the countries around the world are instituting travel bans. So guess what? America will too. And then there's the supply chain. Trump has been talking about China for the past 30, 40 years. There are old interviews of him talking about this exact thing, the dependency on China and bad trade deals. Guess what? We're not going to be dependent on China.
No.
It's going to screw China. They've lost their biggest customer, and there are going to be a lot of other customers, other countries that don't want to do business with them because of this thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're being sloppy. They're not being honest. Wants to do business with that.
Right.
So he's going to get two of his big things. And the economy, it's going to be a culling of the herd. Marginal businesses will probably not be around. But eventually this will recover.
Right.
And well, I think probably so. Time for the summer and the conventions. And
well, that's what's lucky. This is happening now. It's not happening, which happened to McCain, which is not too bad, but you know, all of a sudden the whole economy dropped out in September, October, and then he was left holding the bag. Here, there's plenty of time for it to recover and for Trump to recover. And there was on MSC last night, one said, the first thing that happened is Trump's got to get the hell off TV. And I kind of went, good. That means Trump needs to stay on TV because it's effective. He needs to stay on TV.
Well, you're right. First, they're criticizing him because he's not taking this seriously enough, right? Then he gets on, they're like, oh, now he's not being consistent. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, no matter what he says, you know, it's the wrong thing to say. And yet I noticed, and again, it's not fair. No one's criticizing in the media Jared Polis, right, who shut down the ski resorts. No one's criticizing Mayor Hancock. When a Democrat speaks, we all have to rally together and stand behind each other. When Trump speaks, if you're the mainstream media, you know, everything is, you could just criticize everything and say, and they selectively edit what he says. It was something like where he said, we're doing tremendous. And he went on to say, we're doing all of these things and here's what we're doing. And they just kept saying, Trump says we're handling this and it's tremendous and it's not tremendous. It's just such a farce.
Well, Morning Joe did that. He was criticizing the travel restriction from Europe. And there was a big backlog. Everybody was trying to get into the country and long lines at airports and oh, how irresponsible that was. Well, if he didn't do it, Europe did it ahead of time. It's like, well, where's Trump? They're banning Americans now from flying into the EU. And where's Trump? Why isn't he doing it? So you're right. He cannot win.
Right.
Whatever he does, it's too much. It's not enough. We heard for years of, you know, Trump's a dictator. Trump's a tyrant. Trump has adhered to every court ruling about travel bans and immigration and funding the wall. He's done everything by the book. And yet he's a dictator.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what, so what do you think? Do you think?
Well, let me ask you this. What, I mean, Americans are happy to take a day off, take a week off, take a couple weeks off. But if they keep on with these bans for months, there's going to be a revolt, I think. I think the young people finally figured out how screwed they've been.
Well, and they're the ones that are going to be paying all this back.
Right.
Yeah.
The national emergency is declared. That opens the money spigots.
Yeah, right.
Stimulus and everything else. And we already have a $23 trillion debt. And that's going to grow this year, quite a bit. Who's going to be paying the interest on that debt?
Right. They are.
Those theaters. The millennials are going to be.
Right.
That's going to be part of the government expense when 20% of tax revenue is going toward paying down the debt.
Well, they figured out that Colorado will lose about 800,000, it's estimated, and it could be more than that, in tax revenue. Down at the legislature, they're trying to spend every penny that everybody could ever find anywhere. And so they are panicking because the Democrats are going, we got all these wonderful programs to screw over the
single payer system in Colorado. Yeah.
And they kind of go, well, I don't know.
Maybe that's not such a good idea.
Yeah. But they'll figure out
something. The tax revenue just dropped significantly. We're going to have a lot less money to spend.
Yes.
Right. Right.
And it's not coming back as tourist dollars from out of state. In state, yeah, well, once you let it off and everybody goes, you know, on a binge going to restaurants and movies and everything else. But if they haven't come to this state, they're, you know, they don't go all flying in, and that money is permanently lost.
Oh, sure. And that's the airlines, all the trips that are canceled, all the theme
right.
parks.
What do you think about... What do you think, and Brian, just a couple more questions for you. What do you see this doing to the, you know, Polis was trying to push through and the Democrats are trying to push through essentially a single payer Colorado health option. I think this would kind of put a spike in that because right now, what do you think, Brian?
Well, they're pushing through a public option, which is the devil's in the details. It's not a single payer because commercial insurance exists. All the other programs still exist. It's an option. If it's done right, it makes some sense. It's an option for the people that can't get employer-based insurance and can't afford private insurance, and they make too much for Medicaid. So there's a donut hole for young people starting out that are they're on their own. They've got an internet business or something else. And commercial insurance costs an arm and a leg. It costs $1,200 a month, and they can't afford it. They make too much to qualify for Medicaid. So if the option is structured so, hey, for those people that are in this situation, here's an option where you can buy into Medicaid, for example. You pay a small premium, the system exists, you've got a network of providers, you've got a system. Yeah, it's not a great system, but if you're looking for catastrophic coverage, so if you break your leg, you'll get treated at Denver Health, then you've got a plan, and maybe it costs $100 a month or $80 a month for catastrophic coverage. That makes sense. But
they
if it's
not do that.
If it's going to supplant private insurance,
yes,
compete against private insurance and drive that out, then it's a bad idea.
Well, that's what they'll do. They want to drive private insurance out.
Well,
that is the
I said the devil's in the details and what is the purpose? But if it's to compete, then a government plan always has the advantage. They don't have marketing expense. They've got the tax authority to collect the premiums, all the overhead the private insurance companies can't take advantage of. Right. If it drives out private insurance, then you're like so many of these counties in the country that have one Obamacare plan, if that.
Right.
That's where it hurts, because then the businesses in Colorado that have private are offering private insurance, commercial insurance, and that's 20% of their expense to offer that. They'll say, hey, you got a public option. Do that.
Well, yeah. They'll also demand.
That's where the danger comes.
Well, they're also going to demand price controls from the hospitals and from the doctors.
Now that works real well.
Oh, you don't want that, do you? Yeah, no price control for doctors.
Well, that's coming. And so you can't charge this if you're going to take the public option. And you wait till you see what they really intend to do, because they're not going to do something like you just outlined.
Reasonable,
makes sense. No, that's just not where they come from.
Reality is we're already under price control. My practice is predominantly Medicare, and we're price control. All the commercial insurance, everything is contracted rates. So there are set rates. And I don't want to pick on lawyers, but you know, in a big law firm, the junior guy is getting $150 an hour billing, and the senior partner on the letterhead may be getting $750 an hour.
Yeah,
people can charge based on their value, their experience, their worth, what they bring to the table. Doctor fresh out of training, and the doctor that's been doing it 30 years, same procedure, same reimbursement. There is no differential like that. So the price controls are already there.
Well, they'll get worse.
Yeah, there we go.
That's going to drive people out. People limit their practices. They retire early. And then all of a sudden you have a doctor shortage.
Exactly.
And then we all get coronavirus again.
Yeah, hey, it's coming.
Brian, we got to let you go here. Because thank you for doing this. Did you like it? This is kind of fun, huh?
This was.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brian.
Dr. Brian Dundep.
Nice talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you, too. Dr. Brian Dundep, go read his column at AmericanThinker.com. It's a great column, and I think he has a lot to do there. So, okay, so the guys at BBS, if we could bring – we got busy show today. If we could bring Chuck and Julie back and then bring up Jan Cook live, because Jan Cook, even though – the legislature is going away, or is closed for the
time. It's going away.
Right.
We're dissolving it.
Now we got Jan Cook, our grassroots activist with Colorado Freedom Force. Jan, what's going on? Because they're still doing stuff up there, right?
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. And now that you're talking about the coronavirus, the legislature you probably brought up earlier is in recess until March 30th. And they're still waiting, though, for the Supreme Court, the Colorado Supreme Court, to come back and say whether that's 120 days consecutively,
right,
or whether they have to actually have the legislature in session for 120 days, or whether they can break it up.
Right.
Of course, what are the citizens overwhelmingly hoping for? That to be consecutive.
Exactly. If they haven't done enough damage by the time the 120 days are up, then they don't get to do any more damage, right? What are you hearing there? I mean, they're still talking about the budget. Obviously, they got to do that. I'm hoping that this may sort of put the kibosh on some of the more outrageous plans that the Democrats had. I mean, do you get any sense of what's going on there?
Well, keep in mind, and Chuck will probably chime in this, they can still have a special session, which on either by the governor or the legislature can also go through the process of saying they need a special a session. I think that the bills that people are most concerned about are the bills that they are that much passionate about passing.
Correct.
So, for example, the health care, affordable health care, which is people are calling it the public option. They're also now dubbing it Polis Care.
Right.
That one, that's HB 201349. If people haven't read that bill, I highly encourage they go onto the Colorado General Assembly website. It's very simple. You literally only have to put Colorado General Assembly and you'll go right to the website. That's where they're giving way too much authority, if you read on page 19 and 20 of that bill, to the commissioner of insurance. It's ridiculous, the amount of authority. And this is the part that people have got to understand. You're giving your authority to an unelected bureaucrat, that you have no power as a voter and citizen to do anything about. It's your legislators that are representing your will, not the commissioner of insurance. And they're going to put together a commission, an advisory commission. Now, where have we seen that go awry? Other situation where you have people who are appointed by the governor and the legislature to lord over you, in a sense, in our healthcare network, that are not necessarily the market experts, the consumers that are really figuring this whole thing out. A small body of people will be making healthcare decisions. I find that terrifying. And one last thing I want to bring up about that. When I listened, and anybody can listen live to these committee hearings, the actual people that are involved in the commissioner of insurance, he wasn't there to speak, but there were other representatives. They actually downplayed some of the stuff that's actually in the bill. So, for example, they downplayed the fines that hospitals would get if they actually didn't participate. They said, oh, it could be $10,000 or less, and we don't even know if it'll hit $10,000. Well, I'm here to tell you it can go up to $40,000 and still have discretion on what those penalties can be if a hospital in network or out of network chooses not to participate in this healthcare option. So every single major hospital organization was there to testify against this bill, including the Colorado Chamber and other business entities. And everybody that was on their side was a left to center policy think tank.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah.
That was promoting it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. You're absolutely right. What it does is they're going to create a commission. The commission is going to be whoever the current governor's buddies are and their friends are. It's going to be lobbyists. It's going to be people all with their own special vested interest. And like you said, deciding what we can and cannot do healthcare wise. I mean, that by itself is just alarming.
Well, the commissioner will be appointed by the governor and can be fired by the governor. He may need approval by the state Senate, which
The Democrats
all control. So if Polis doesn't like what he's doing, he's gone. I mean, it's the idea that this isn't going to be a radical change is, we're just talking to Brian Dunedeath, and I know you were listening, and he's saying, well, if they just limit it down to this, and you kind of go, no, that's not what these think tanks
That's not what they're
do.
Planning. No. Yeah, that's not what they're planning. No. It is. We've seen
this. This is a beginning point.
Exactly.
This is always the beginning point. It's never the end point for them.
Right.
Haven't we seen, Jan, the Democrats at the state legislature, particularly this session, what they're doing, I think you've talked about it, is sort of slicing and dicing. Rather than just going with an overall heroin injection big bill, they're doing this little steps at a time, right? Isn't that what you've seen?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So for one thing that we have at Colorado Freedom Force is a number of what we call citizen action petitions, not to be confused with the Secretary of State initiatives. You know, often people do not remember that in our First Amendment is that we have the right as citizens to petition any grievance that we have with our legislators. And this is part of that process. So to your point, Julie, you have three really dangerous bills, the number 007, 028, 1065. Cumulatively, if those three bills get through, we probably will have a safe injection site. It is really all about increasing these needles, increasing the antidote products that the big pharma groups make.
Right, right.
And proliferating them all throughout the system, relaxing rules such as policing in areas, so that people, druggies, feel comfortable, that they don't have to worry that
about getting arrested for selling drugs to people. Right.
Yeah. Yes. So I encourage people to go to Colorado Freedom Force to find those petitions, because we are going to, and this is the time, Julie.
Okay.
Now we're in the middle. We cannot drop the ball, because trust me, they're having meetings. They may not be having meetings of 10 people or more at the Capitol, but they're still meeting with these people that are trying to get these bills through.
Oh, yeah, they're not. You're absolutely right, Jen. The lobbyists are not like, oh, well, you know, we're just going to give up now and we're just going to all stay home and be quarantined. Right.
Well, so, as I pointed out on.
And if anything. Go ahead.
The Party Friday and a little bit of a robust discussion with Patrick Neville And he was saying, well, you know, the majority leader in the House is being a great guy, and we don't know whether you can do 120 days consecutive. They'd studied that every which way to death before he was even brought up.
Of course they did.
And they found out that they didn't think they had a very good claim, that they could just split it up. And so they kind of went, well, great. Well, then we'll get the Republicans, who always are dumb, to go with us. And we'll both ask the Democratic-controlled Supreme Court to tell us that what it appears to say isn't what it really says. And if the Supreme Court does that, well, then, you know, they're all set. But they do nothing by accident. I've spent my whole life with Democrats. And when the Republicans just sit there, kind of, and you just go over to them and say, hey, why don't we both do this? Why don't we both
say
do
no.
that?
They make it sound like it's always reasonable.
Republicans
want to be the reasonable people without recognizing that they're usually 2 to 3 steps ahead.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Sure that they're going to get their will and their way. I agree. And they have nothing to lose to put this forward. Let's just say they didn't check. The Democrats didn't check. They still have a greater likelihood with the appointees on the Supreme Court,
right.
in their favor. It would be stunning to me if it went in the direction that it has to be consecutive.
Here's the thing, I think, Jan, you know, you made me think about this in the brief second that I did. And I think, and you're absolutely right. What the Republicans need to do, what Pat Neville and those guys need to do, is go into court and argue, no, it has to be consecutive. And like, because you said, what on earth? They each get to have $1 billion. Most of them are unnecessary. Most of them don't get passed anyway because of the fiscal note. And they all, I think, are used to kind of disguise some of the main horrific bills they're trying to get through. I think you're right. It's like, hey, if you can't do it in 120 consecutive days, then you just don't get to do it and you can come back next year.
Or call a special session
if it's that crucial.
And I hope some legislators are listening right now, because one of the things that is my absolute pet peeve is when I'm listening to these hearings at the you know, various committee hearings on various bills, I really detest when a Republican in particular says, thank you for all the hard work you did on this bill. I just applaud you for all your hard work, and I understand you put a lot of energy into the bill. And I just want to say that if I personally were a legislator, if I think the bill is bad, I don't care how much work you've put into a bad bill. I want to use my summation time to talk about why I cannot support this particular bill and why it's bad culturally for the society, for freedom, whatever it is. And so that's what's very critical here. When it comes to any of these bills, we're going to come down on Republicans as much as we are Democrats if we feel they're not representing the people to the absolute degree that we feel we should be represented.
Well, so you'll never hear is a left-wing Democratic legislator.
Yeah, thank you, the Republican.
Thank you for opposing this bill.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing out all of its flaws. Thank you for apprising us of why it's a bad bill. We really appreciate all your hard work. That has never been said at the Capitol.
Yeah, you haven't had them. When you're there and you're live streaming with some of the moms and all the people who show up, you don't have anyone from the governor's office come out and say to you, Jan, we just really appreciate all your hard work.
Like, yeah, exactly. And here's another one. You know, 1271, which was the repeal of the red flag bill that was last week. I have to tell you the most fascinating thing I'm noticing, and I wish people would tune in. We make it available to everybody. We post the audio links on Colorado Freedom Force. It's the best educational tool you can have, because if you listen to the arguments of the people who supported that bill, 1271, repeal of the red flag, and you listen to those who were against it, there was absolutely, the arguments against it had nothing to do with the language of the bill. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was listening to, and I was tweeting like a mad person.
Right.
Show the actual language in the bill. It's all emotional gobbledygook. And the people that were supporting the red flag bill were all about the Constitution, all about the actual language, all about the criminality, keeping communities safe, all peoples within the community safe. And it drives me crazy that the Democrats and the Republicans take an oath of office to uphold this, the constitution of this country, as well as the state constitution. It should have gotten passed out of committee just based on the merit of the language and the constitutionality of it. But it wasn't based on emotion.
Yeah, no, I know. Jan, we're going to have to get you run for something. Just so you know, I'm thinking about drafting you right now. Let me a final pitch to folks. One of the things we're hoping to do, and Jan is doing, she's down at the Capitol all the time, and she's, you know, social media queen, live streaming and things like that. We need people to subscribe to both the Chuck and Julie YouTube channel and the Colorado Freedom Force YouTube channel, because YouTube won't let us go live from our mobile apps unless we have 1,000 subscribers, right, Jan?
That's right.
We need people.
Yeah. So anything you can do, folks, we need you to sign up, and you need a Google account to subscribe. So just make up something and just get out there and subscribe so that you can get more real news, the straight talk, as often as we possibly can provide it.
All right, Jan, thank Colorado Freedom.
Thank you.
You guys go. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right, take care.
All right. For the last little bit, too, we can open it up to the phones. 888-627-6008. Anil, Jan, by the way, is texting and saying you are spot on. Anil is saying he wants to make sure that us and anybody out there who is interested in running for a national delegate, you got to get your intent into the respective congressional district or state.
Well, wait a minute. Ask him if that's CD7
yes,
also.
Yes, he said, yes, that's CD7.
It's CD7?
Yeah.
When did that come out?
So what?
I saw it for CD6, but it was just CD6, so maybe all that's changed.
Well, I think
that's important.
What the bottom line is if you were elected to be a delegate and you're interested in going on to being a national delegate, what you want to go ahead and do is just go to your county website, the county, like the Adams County Republican Party website, and they can explain it all there too. I don't know if you can bring us back up full here. Oh, there we go.
There we are.
You can see Jan Singh, Jan Cook at, you know, you want to check her out on Twitter. And once again, let me make a plea for that. What I'd like folks to do is you can go to our website, chuckandjulie.com. And up in the upper right-hand corner, there is like a Facebook page, a Twitter page, and then a YouTube page. In particular, if you could subscribe to the YouTube channel, nothing happens if you subscribe. It's just a count.
There's no money.
No money. You don't get emails or anything like that. You just subscribe, and we need a certain number of people. I mean, and we've got a ways to go. And then YouTube will let us go live, not just from our computer, but from our phone apps. And then Jan and I are talking about doing a lot of stuff, bringing it to you at events as they're going on live. So back to, you know, coronavirus a little bit. I did want to say a nice thing. Like I said, I was at the grocery store today. It was a little less chaotic, but the grocery store people were clearly harried, doing their best there, stocking shelves. Again, quit hoarding toilet paper. There's no need to hoard toilet paper. That's driving.
Go ahead. It just annoys people.
Well, it just is annoying.
Oh, who cares? You know, just to peep them off.
On a kind of a funny note, and call in if you have comments or concerns, 888-627-6008. One thing that was kind of funny, I don't know if people have followed, there's been this whole Gen X Twitter feed that's been hilarious talking about. They were like, we were the latchkey generation. They were kind of between, I'm older than them, but they're not, my daughter's like a millennial kind of type. So they're the people in between, like my age and millennials. And they're like, we can entertain ourselves for hours on end. They're like, hello, millennials, read a book. Think of that.
Read a book.
And this other one, she was tweeting, I can live on, she's like, my mom is never home to cook dinner. I felt guilty about that. But I can live on, I can live on ramen noodles for a month if I have to. It's like millennials lighten up. Maybe got Ben there. Ben, our friend and our neighbor and our fellow Adams County Republican. Hey, Ben, what do you make of all of the goings on today?
Oh, I just have a couple of observations. I think that there's going to be a lot of business to be had out here in the next little while, because we're all going into the self-imposed isolation, if you will. So I'm predicting that a lot of the family law practice attorneys out there are going to be pretty good. We're going to have
probably your kids. Yeah.
This social distancing in the form of divorces.
Oh,
and also in 9 months, I think that our obstetricians are going to be very busy delivering the Wuhan babies. So that's what I see right off the top of my head. And one last thing. I'm not panic or anything, but tell me, does this make me look fat?
Oh, no, it's good. It's nice. It's good. Nice. It's good. Nice. Good. Yeah. Ben, thank you. Appreciate you weighing
you
in.
You bet. You bet.
And you can stay live. We can just, we'll mute you.
We'll mute you.
Okay.
We'll mute
you. All right.
So that's, we have the power of muting.
We have the power of muting. We got a couple more minutes here. You know, it is back to the grocery store. I keep trying to say thank you to the King Supers people, though. They were, they did a very good job. And
what
can tell.
What did they do?
Where the shelves were restocked. I mean, I was there. There was this guy like frantically throwing pasta on the shelf as people were grabbing it off. Right. And they were polite. They were nice. They were, I mean, they were full staff and you could tell they were working hard. The one guy said that their boss bought coffee for the entire place today. So, I was making a joke saying you guys need some Red Bull. And they said, okay, well they did that. So, you know, here's my prediction that I think you're right. That, you know, Denver went on closing all bars and restaurants today. I imagine other cities will soon follow. It's my understanding that
Glendale didn't.
Well, maybe not, but not all. But I don't think the president, the federal government, as I understand it, doesn't have the authority to say you have to close all restaurants.
Neither does the mayor of a city. Neither does the governor. But who's gonna disobey
it? But I have a feeling that after a couple of weeks of this, that they'll go ahead and. And say, okay, like Brian Jundep was saying, go ahead and maybe try to kind of push it into the quicker curve like they're doing in England rather than stretching it out. Think so?
No, because once you decide that you're going to do it a containment philosophy, you can't decide two-thirds of the way. Let's do a flooding one. I mean, they're going to continue to try to contain it. They're going to, you know,
they're
going to watch is when do they stop exponentially increasing coronavirus things? And once that curve starts going down, you'll see them loosening it
up. And then
up.
From what I understand, there are a couple of different scenarios. The one scenario has that happening right about a month from now, right? Another scenario has it happening later. So we'll see.
Well, you'll be able to tell because it's just going to be almost a direct curve up as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it will tail off and then start going down. And certainly when it starts going down, it would not be illogical to lift those ones. What would be illogical is what's doubling to kind of,
exactly.
You know, but they might anyway, because everybody else.
Well, you know, and the question I have, though, is how accurate are the statistics we're getting if, as we're hearing, a lot of the people who get it, it's relatively mild and don't even realize that they have it, right? So I got to wonder.
Well, still, we see enough, you know.
Do you think there's enough numbers out there?
Well, you know, they'll still be underreported. Wherever you are on the curve, you'll still be underreported. But it'll be equally underreported. And so you'll have enough. Didn't China, as Brian was saying, with those charts, you just put one chart over.
Oh, no.
We're all dead.
Corona. Wait, no, actually, I think sneezing is not a coronavirus thing. Chills and fever are. But I gather if you're coughing and sneezing, then you have allergies, coronavirus. Of course, if you don't see us here on Wednesday,
we're one less of us.
Although that's a beauty of doing it from our home here. You know, I don't know. We're thinking about maybe going to 5 days in this time period because all the other organizations are going to have to go off.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? Because people like us who are doing it from our home now, we can.
We could be on death's door and still be.
We could, yeah, exactly. We just put on enough makeup. That's what you do when you're in TV. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us. A couple of notes. Once again, sponsored by ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Gotta check it out. And let us know what you think.
Let them know what you think, too.
We hope to have some of the guys on either later
busy.
This week
yeah.
or very busy,
they're
later
very-
this week or next.
That's right. And another thing, too, you can always catch our podcast at chuckandjulie.com. And again, if you go there, we'd love to have you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's just going to help us. Once we hit the certain number, we can bring you more stuff going on live.
And we're building. We're getting there slowly but surely.
Right.
And your help would be greatly appreciated.
Exactly. And you can catch all the podcasts and the archives in the podcast once again at chuckandjulie.com. That's going to do it for us.
Hopefully we're over.
We don't get coronavirus. Thank you to all the guys at BBS Radio. And we'll see you next time.
Take care, everyone.